Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Alimu. Al-Alimu, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of everything at all times. Just like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qadeem, and Qadeem means eternal, there is no beginning, and so Allah is eternal, there is no beginning. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also eternal and there is no beginning to it. As for time and space, these are in relation to human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the complete knowledge of everything that is apparent and everything that is unseen. The scholars have mentioned that it would be incorrect to give the title as Alimul Ghaib or Allamul Ghuyub to anyone else in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the inherent qualities that only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine if somebody is, let me give you an example so that we can understand. When we say Alimul Ghaib, it means that he has the knowledge of the unseen. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, the prophets have the knowledge, but that knowledge is only knowledge given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, this title of Alimul Ghaib does not befit even Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. It is only unique with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone is a hafiz of the Quran, that means he knows the first para, the second para, the third para, the fourth para, until the 30th. When you say that this man is a hafiz of the Quran, generally it means that he knows the Quran off by heart, from Suratul Fatiha to Suratul Nas. Now if somebody has just memorized Surah Yasin, or if somebody has just memorized two chapters of the Quran, or if somebody has just memorized Suratul Baqarah, and then for someone to say that this person is a hafiz, this would be completely wrong. You can't give that person a title which does not befit him. He is not qualified for that. And so a title is only given to that person when he is completely qualified to that profession. And so ilm-e ghaib, knowledge of the unseen, is a quality only inherent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. And so we have to be extremely careful, my respected brothers and elders. We should not share something which is the unique quality of only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anyone else in His creation, and especially Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam, the messengers. Now if you study the Quran, I wish to give you a few examples how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained this very important phenomena, that the knowledge of the unseen is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever is given to the prophets, that is only by revelation. And so information is parted to them, it is given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah only gives that information which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed and has portioned for the prophet of the time. And so let us look at a Nabi whose name is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that after Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the highest ranked Nabi is Ibrahim alayhi salam. After Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the highest ranked Nabi is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam is well known for his hospitality. And so in the Quran, I believe Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained this. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ بِالْبُشْرَى. Allah says, and that my emissaries came to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam with good news. Allah's emissaries came to Ibrahim alayhi salam with good news. And so when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam saw guests at his doorstep, and so he invited them in, qalu salama, and all of them said assalamu alaykum to Ibrahim alayhi salam. When they greeted Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam said qala salam. He also said wa alaykum assalam, responded back. Fama labitha an jaa bi'ijlin haniz. Now just after exchanging the salam, the greetings, look at the hospitality of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Nowadays what they do is that you give dawah to someone and the shortcut is just to buy something from the takeaway shop and give it. The women don't like cooking. Women don't like cooking, and especially Saturday, Sunday, now cooking has gone. Saturday, Sunday, cooking is gone. It's all about takeaway. Subhanallah. It's so important that women, they learn and they know how to cook. This is something very important. They should learn how to cook. And you'll find some women, when they cook rotis, it's not round, it's square. It's like the world map or African map or Indian map or some. Alhamdulillah, I'm not talking about the women at my house. Yeah, people think very quickly. I was once doing a bayan and somebody came and he said to me after Jummah, Mawli Sahab, has someone told you information about my house? I said, Wallahi, no. I said, you know, when I sit on the pulpit, Allahu Akbar, I have to be completely neutral and I have to speak what's in my mind and what is my job. And if you feel that it's affecting you, then it's good, because you should reform and do your Islah. I speak, so it should affect me, and you hear, so it should affect you for the better. It doesn't mean that, astaghfirullahi lazim, we are sitting here with a mission, you know, trying to target people. That's not the case. If somebody talks about ghibat, then if you are of that habit of doing ghibat, then do your Islah. If you're doing something wrong, then it's going to affect you. And so women don't cook, and, you know, say, if you're going to bring your guests, take away. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, the man of his house. The Quran says only as salam, that was all. The guests came, exchange of salam. Fama labitha an jaa bi'ijlin haniz. Immediately went back, and he came back with a roasted calf. Now that is no shortcuts in hospitality. Is it shortcut? A roasted calf. Today you go to some restaurants. Arif Bhai, remember when we went to Birmingham, we had to phone them that we want a leg. So they have to cook for 1 hour. A roasted calf. The Quran is in bi'ijlin haniz. What a man. Look at the hospitality of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Quickly. And so now he presents the food in front of the guests. Now the Quran, Allahu Akbar, generally when you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not cover every detail. That is not the purpose of the Quran. Allah does not cover every detail as such. For an example, you haven't got the words of Adhan in the Quran. For an example, it doesn't tell you in the Quran how many rakats you have to perform in each salah, because all that is in the hadith. But specifically in the two ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing everything. فَلَمَّا رَأَىٰ أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَسِلُ إِلَيْهِ. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam is looking that the hands are not exceeding to and are not being extended towards the food presented. It's not going forward. نَكِرَهُمْ نَكِرَهُمْ. Ibrahim alayhi salam found that to be very strange. The food is there, roasted calf. Eat, put your hands forward, but the guests are just sitting and looking at the food. Nakirahum, he found that very amazing. Wa awjasa minhum khifa. Now looking at the body language of the guests, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam somewhat felt very apprehensive, a bit scared. Why? Because the custom at that time was, if you give food to your guests, and if they don't share and partake of the food, it means that their intention is to harm you. It means that they have come to harm you. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was worried that a group of people that are here and they're not eating. Now when they saw Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, the guests, they said to him, La takhaf. Inna ursilna ila qawmi Lut. Only then they said and they disclosed that we have been sent for the people of Lut. For the people of Lut alayhi salatu wassalam. Only then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam realized that these guests in human form are who? The angels. Imagine a Nabi who is ranked number 2 after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam could not identify the guests, that who they were. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give this blank card to Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam that they have the knowledge of the unseen and that they know everything. No. It's only what Allah has parted to them. Imagine he was a Nabi that was visited by Jibreel alayhi salam so many times, but yet on this occasion, he went out of his way to prepare a roasted calf. But malaika don't eat. So this was something strange for them. What is this food here for? And that's why they were just standing in human form. And only then he realized, oho, these are the malaika, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, some of the scholars have mentioned that the good news given to him is that Hazrat Sarah was expecting Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salatu wassalam. And that knowledge was also given to him. He didn't know of that. He didn't know of that. So why does Quran go at length in explaining all of these, subhanallah, movements and gestures of the prophets and malaika, so that we realize our aqeedah and belief with Allah is untarnished. We understand that these are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, a person will go astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. That is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Let us go to a Nabi who is not just a Nabi, but the greatest king that humanity has ever witnessed. In the Bible, he is known as King Solomon. King Solomon. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. Such a Nabi and a king that he would sit on his throne and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam was taking register of who were present. And the Quran makes mention of this. And Sulaiman alayhi salam says, وَتَفَقَّدَ الطَّيْرُ فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدُ أَمْ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَائِبِينَ. And he said that, I'm missing out from one bird. And I don't see Hudhud. I don't see Hudhud. Hudhud, a very small bird like a woodpecker. Where is Hudhud? أَمْ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَائِبِينَ. And I see that this Hudhud has disappeared. Now a Nabi who was given so much knowledge that he could speak the language of the animals. When one ant was communicating with the ant community, the Quran says that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam understood exactly of what they were speaking. That communication that was between that one ant and the rest of the ants. Such was his knowledge that to his service you had the jinns, the animals, mountains. Allahu Akbar. The winds were at his service. But Sulaiman alayhi salam at that time did not know where is that one bird. Bas. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to explain to this ummah that ilm-e ghaib is only with what? With who?
Allah.
Allah. Sulaiman alayhi salam did not know where is Hudhud. And that is why he's saying, where is Hudhud? Where is Hudhud? In fact, this small bird, when information is given to this bird that, oh, today you're finished. Teri khair mit jayegi. Sulaiman alayhi salam has tracked you down. Where have you been, Basta? Come. And Hudhud comes and quickly surrenders to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Again the Quran says, now imagine Yemen was not even very far. Yemen was not considered as out of reach for Sulaiman alayhi salam. In fact, nothing was out of reach for him. Nothing at all. But one small bird gave him information which he did not know. And the bird said that, O Sulaiman alayhi salam, O Nabi of Allah, do you know whilst you are around, there is one lady who rules over her people. And they are mushrik. And they are doing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malika Bilqis, Queen Bilqis, in the area of Yemen today. Sulaiman alayhi salam did not know of that. And that is why Sulaiman alayhi salam said, you better be telling me the truth, because I am going to check it out. You better be telling me the truth. So all of these incidents recorded in the Quran are giving us a very important message that the knowledge of the unseen is with who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today you will find certain people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Never mind Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. They even attribute the knowledge of the unseen to the awliyaullah. Now they are awliyaullah, don't get me wrong, pious people, alhamdulillah, the Quran speaks of them, there is nothing wrong. This ummah, alhamdulillah, they are great muttaqeen and very, very pious people. But if Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam were not given complete knowledge of the unseen, then how is it possible for anyone else to come to that category? And any information given to a Nabi was only through revelation. And so Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, Quran speaks of him. Let's go to another Nabi, all mentioned in the Quran. Jacob or Ya'qub alayhi salatu wa salam. Father's name Ishaq. His father's name Ibrahim. A dynasty, a line of Anbiya. Father Nabi, grandfather Nabi, son Nabi. Subhanallah. Father Nabi, grandfather a Nabi, and his own son, a beautiful Nabi. Yusuf alayhi salam, the son of Ya'qub. Ya'qub alayhi salam, the son of Ishaq. Wa min wara'i Ishaq Ya'qub. And Ishaq alayhi salam, the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ya'qub alayhi salam, open Surah Yusuf. Allah describes this story as Ahsanul Qasas. One of the most beautiful stories that you can ever read, which is a fact, not something that is fictitious. And Ya'qub alayhi salatu was salam, the story is, the brothers come and they put up a story in front of the father. And Khair, such a great Nabi of Allah, has no knowledge of the whereabouts of his own son. Being a Nabi, he doesn't know where his son is. Where is his son? Yusuf alayhi salam. In one narration it is said, for 80 years father and son were separated. In another narration it is mentioned, for 53 years father and son were separated. Ya'qub alayhi salatu was salam did not know where Yusuf alayhi salam was. What had happened to him? The Quran is telling us something. Understand that the knowledge of the unseen is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. In fact, it is said that in crying, Hazrat Ya'qub alayhi salatu was salam, in the latter part of his life, he became blind. Nabina ho gaye the. He became blind. Yet he had no knowledge that his own son Yusuf alayhi salam is the minister of Egypt. He had no knowledge of that. Only later on, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunited the entire family with the sons and all the brothers together. But here we see Ya'qub alayhi salam was not given the knowledge of the unseen. Look at the Quran. Look at the Quran. Look, you'll find a lot of people who have an art in speaking. and to give a lecture, and you know, like, they like screaming, and they like singing and screaming, a lot of people trying to prove their point, but in reality it is nothing. It is nothing. Musa alayhi salatu was salam, the great Nabi of Allah, in Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, wa alki asaq, throw down your stick, the asa that you have, throw down your stick, wa alki asaq, and he put the asa down. The Quran says, falamma ra'aha tahtazzu. فَلَمَّا رَآهَا تَهْتَزُّ. When Musa alayhi salatu was salam saw the stick, it started moving. The stick started moving. تَهْتَزُّ means started moving. كَأَنَّهَا جَان. As if it is a snake in front of him. The stick was like a snake. It started to move like a snake. Now, when Musa alayhi salatu was salam saw a snake in front of him, even a Nabi like Musa alayhi salam, what did he do? The Quran testifies, walla mudbiram walam yu'aqib. Peet phir kar bhaage, peeche nahi dekha. And he retreated, turning his back without looking back. He retreated, turning his back, and he did not even look in that direction. Walam yu'aqib. وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ. Oh, his own stick. He's not even looking. Running. Ya Musa la takhaf. Allah is saying, oh Musa, don't fear. إِنِّي لَا يَخَافُ لَدَيَّ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. You know, don't be afraid. Now again, if Musa alayhi salam had the knowledge of the unseen, what was the need for him to run? If he had the knowledge of the unseen, then why would he have to, what was the need for him to run? For him to run. There was no need for him to run. But the Quran is saying, Anbiya alayhimus salam, they have the knowledge. And their knowledge is the greatest knowledge. Don't get me wrong. And there is no one like the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one thing is for sure, like there is no one like the messengers, there is no one like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That distinction must be made. If you uphold the honor and the position of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, very important. But at the same time, you have to uphold subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so, my respected brothers, that even the jinns don't have the knowledge of the unseen, and the Quran speaks of it. Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam took service from the jinns when it came to the construction of the masjid. So Sulaiman alayhi salam would stand and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a long period of time. And there was a mihrab that was built for him. He would stand there, and the jinns were working night and day, and Sulaiman alayhi salam would stand in qiyam, and he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes when he was tired, there was one asa, and so there was a stick of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, and he would rest, but he would continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا قَضَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْتِ مَا دَلَّهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَوْتِهِ إِلَّا دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ تَأْكُلُ مِنْ سَأَتَهِ. The Quran says that, and when we had decreed death for Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, no one knew of, there was no, مَا دَلَّهُمْ means there was no indication of his death. There was no signs, no indication of his death, except that دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ, the insects of the earth, they started eating the scepter. تَأْكُلُ مِنْ سَأَتَهِ. They start, woodworms, they started eating it, the scepter. And when they started eating it, فَلَمَّا خَرَّ تَبَيِّنَتِ الْجِنُّ, Then Musa, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam came down. And the honor given to a Nabi is that even as he came down, the angels were there to hold him. The angels were there to hold him. This is the honor given to a Nabi. فَلَمَّا خَرَّ When he came down, تَبَيَّنَتِ الْجِنُّ Only then it became apparent to the jinns. And what did they say? لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الْغَيْبِ مَا لَبِثُوا فِي الْعَذَابِ الْمُهِينَ Only if we had the knowledge of the unseen, if we had the knowledge of the unseen, if we had ilme ghaib, what would have happened? We would have not tolerated this humiliating punishment. Azab al muheen. This humiliating punishment. The Quran makes it clear. You go to your fortune tellers, you go to that person, you go to that person. No one has the knowledge of the unseen. No one has the knowledge of the unseen. No one has. Subhanallah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of the unseen. And now finally let us go to Hazrat-e Nabi-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat-e Nabi-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if you look at the Quran subhanallah gives precise and accurate description of the communities that came well before. In fact, even before Ibrahim alayhi salam, time immemorial, the Quran speaks of Adam alayhi salam. The Quran gives accurate information of Nuh alayhi salam. And in fact, one entire surah, Surah Nuh, has been revealed. Throughout the Quran, you'll find Allah speaks of Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu was salam. None of the scriptures can give you that information save the Quran. When all of these information, subhanallah, that was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to the people about Nuh alayhi salam, what happened to him, there was a possibility that there would be some people who would think that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us complete information of Noah, Nuh alayhi salam, so that maybe he has the knowledge of the unseen. Maybe his knowledge is also completely eternal. Allahu Akbar. But the Quran also makes that clear. Quran makes that clear. After giving the reports of the past communities, the Quran says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ These are the unseen reports that we are giving to you. تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ These are the unseen reports that we are giving you. نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are revealing that to you. We are giving you this information as a source of revelation. Nuhiha ilayk. And then the Quran says again, Ma kunta ta'lamuha. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you did not know of this. Ma kunta ta'lamuha. Anta, you did not know. And then again the Quran says, Anta wala qawmuka. Not you and not your people. Min qabli hadha, before this. Fasbir. And be patient. إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ And the best ending is always for those who are God-fearing. And here we see in the Quran specifically how openly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this. Now for some of you here might think that, oh well, maybe you know you might be thinking, what's the big deal about this? We understand that, it's not. You will go out there, my respected brothers, you will go out there. And in fact, just go on YouTube and just punch in knowledge of the unseen or talking about that, and you'll see how people are discussing and debating there. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us hidayat. We all love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which Muslim does not have the love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But it does not mean that you love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a way that you start confusing the masses in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that which is only the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something very important. Finally, I did talk about this, but again, just to recap. You know, we read, one is Dua-e-Kunut that we read in Witr. And brothers, get into the habit of reading Dua-e-Kunut. There are some people who take shortcut, 4 farz and go home and will read it at home and the wuzu breaks and they don't read. There are some people who don't read sunnats. There are some people who don't read witr namaz, in which you have to read Dua-e Kunut. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, he is not from amongst us who does not read the witr salah. He is not from amongst us who does not read the witr. That is why, according to the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, according to him, witr namaz is wajib. What is it? Wajib. Because it is wajib. So for an example, if you have made your Isha namaz qaza in the past, and you want to read it again, you have to read the farz of your Isha, but also the witr. So in the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa, in Isha, you do qaza of Isha and also qaza of witr, because according to this Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, witr is wajib because of the hadith. That he is not from amongst us who does not read witr. Very, very important. That's why Imam Sahib makes a distinction between the rest of the sunan nawafil and witr. In witr namaz we read a kunut. Allahumma inna nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruka wa nu'minu bika wa natawakkalu alayka. Till the end. That is dua kunut that we know of. Another kunut that you can read is also known as kunute nazila. What is it? Kunute nazila. Kunute nazila is a different kind of kunut. Kunute nazila means that you are asking and invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Him that certain individuals should be cursed. So this dua is to curse a certain group of people. That may Allah's la'nat be on so and so person who is doing zulm upon the ummah. So kunute nazila is about giving but dua. It is that specific dua. Now the difference between kunut in Isha and kunut in Nazila. A group of people came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madina Munawwara. Now when we talk about the life of Madina Munawwara, that is of course the very last portion and the last part phase of his life. A group of people came and they said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are sincere people. And we ask you to give us the learned scholars of Medina. And we have a lot of tribes scattered so that they can teach us the Quran. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got happy. Allah's Nabi got happy. And he did not give them one scholar, not two scholars, not three scholars. But how many scholars? Does anybody know? 70 ulama of the most elite in Madina Munawwara. How many? 70. Think about that. I remember in the early 80s, when in Darul Uloom Bari, There was nobody actually qualified to teach hadith, and we had to actually import scholars from India and Pakistan. So we had the elite scholars who came, who were masters of hadith to teach. But in one accident, car accident, 4 to 5 ulama passed away. How many were there? Five. Five ulama passed away. And great scholars passed away. 5 alims passed away. Allahu Akbar. Who was now to carry forward this, subhanAllah, legacy of passing knowledge. In those days, in the early 80s, Darul Ulooms, we didn't have so many Darul Ulooms. It's the first Darul Ulum. Who is qualified to teach all of these kitabs? High kitabs, respected kitabs. Five alims only. Here in Medina Munawwara, Allah's Nabi gave 70 of the most elite students, Qurras, who were from Ashabi Suffa. In sitting in Medina Munawwara 24 hours, only the students of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, masters of the Quran. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, all 70 of you go. All 70. Allahu Akbar. Now, these people who came, they were munafiqs, hypocrites. And just as they got out of Madinatul Munawwara, all of them got together and al-iyazu billah, they assassinated all of the Qurras. In some riwayat, as many as 68, 69 Huffaz were murdered cold-bloodedly. Bodies were mutilated. And when this news was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba-i kiram ajma'een would say that we have never seen the face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this before. Never. He would not speak to the people. He was so serious. He was rahmatul lil alameen. We were scared what will happen. Elite huffaz have passed away. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 1 month continuously gave baddu'a to these people in Fajr namaz. Baddu'a. And that is kunute nazila. For 1 month. In some narration it is also mentioned that in every namaz, and in some even in Maghrib. But that is where you get the kunute nazila. But the reason why I have said this, this is an incident that is of course documented. Now if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the knowledge of the unseen, how is it lawful or possible for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to give permission for 70 of the elite scholars to leave Madinatul Munawwara? And so understand, my respected brothers, this knowledge is only exclusive to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My job is only to speak out and to impart. The brothers here, whether you accept, whether you don't accept, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ, our duty is only to speak, not to debate, only to give out information. People accept, they don't accept, that is up to them. But on the day of Qiyamah, we shall all stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, saying that, just one verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before, subhanallah, the reckoning that starts, all of the anbiya, the assembly of the prophets, all of them will be assembled. From Adam alayhi salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them, only exclusively the prophets will be standing. The Quran says, يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلُ فَيَكُولُ مَاذَا أُجِبْتُمْ يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلُ فَيَكُولُ مَاذَا أُجِبْتُمْ. And it will be said to them that how did your people respond to you? All of the Nabi, they will be questioned, how did your people respond to you? Anbiya alayhimu salam at that time will say, La ilma lana, we have no knowledge. Innaka anta allamul ghuyub. On the day of Qiyamah, from Adam alayhi salam to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one voice, everyone will say, O Allah, you are allamul ghuyub. What are you? Allamul ghuyub. That you are the only one who has the complete knowledge of the unseen. And so be very, very careful. Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is our aqeedah. Be very, very careful. There are certain people in our community, not very far away from us. You go to their masjid, and Astaghfirullah, the things people do there, it is like as if someone in a Hindu temple does. Astaghfirullah. In fact, I myself read an article in a newspaper. And I had that article. There was this journalist in India who, after traveling all the parts of India, he said that, "I have heard from the mouths of many that the Muslims can never be united with the Hindu community of India. The Muslims can never be united with the Hindu community of India." This Englishman says that after traveling every part of India, he says that, "I am very optimistic that the two can live together in perfect harmony." And the dalil, the proof he gave, he said that, "I went to the mandir and I went to the masjid and I did not see any difference." What did he say? "I went to the mandir and I went to the masjid and I did not see any difference." Let me give you my own experience. In India, I went to Porbandar. That is where Mahatma Gandhi was born. And so, when I went to the masjid, and they saw me, and you know, they can actually smell you. Wahhabi. He's a Wahhabi. "Oh, what is a Wahhabi, bhai? Why?" It baffles me until now. I don't know what's a Wahhabi. "A Wahhabi, I can see him. Yeah, they do this. Wahhabi." But when it comes to chanda, huh, they take money from the Wahhabis. When it comes to money, that is not a problem. Then everybody is welcome. Cow. Money, cow. But when it comes to the masjid, "Hey, look at him. Trousers above the ankle, the tash, mustache, no mustache. You know, it looks like a tablighi or Wahhabi." And so when I came, they said, "Kiss the grave." In some parts of India, you find that every masjid has a mazar there. It seems that all of the Buzrugan-e-Din and Awliyaullah were only in that part of the world, you know. Ajib. Anbiya alayhimu salam, their home was the Middle East. That is where the prophets were. The land of the prophets. But in India, every corner you'll see a pious man sleeping, mazar. Every corner. Less than 1 mile, mazar. Less than 1 mile here, mazar. And so he grabbed me from the back and said, "Chumo, chumo." I looked at him. I said, "Tum pagal ho kya? What are you, crazy?" And that's it. Then they looked at me and they said, "Wahhabi." Now, if this is the mindset of the people, that they are not even prepared to reason, and they are not even prepared to listen, then Allah saves them. There are people who live just here and here, here. Just this. How many Muslims live here? But they will walk it to another masjid because they think you are a kafir. What do they think? Simple words. They don't think that you have the love for Huzur alayhi salam. You have a beard, but maybe you're imitating somebody else. Your wife has a parda, and their wives don't have parda. They wear jeans, but no, you're still a Wahhabi. You don't like the Sahaba also. Ajib. Can you imagine that? They will walk miles away, but they won't come to this masjid. I remember walking here, just where the school is, and there was a man walking, and I looked at him, an old man, and I said to him, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah." And he looked at me, and he said, Allahu Akbar, shocked. Imagine, that there are people who will not even return salam to you. This disease, what I'm talking about, this disease, how the shaitan has gripped them, all attributing the attributes of Allah to the prophets, and when you try to clean them out and explain to them, forget it, they don't know, don't listen to them, our forefathers were doing this. Exactly what the forefathers of Ibrahim alayhi salam said to him. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Man, what you doing?" And they said, "Ibrahim, be quiet, alayhi salam, our forefathers were doing this." Allah give us the tawfiq. Allah give us the tawfiq. Alhamdulillah, when you go out and if somebody asks you how and who you are, your identity is that you are a Muslim and you are from the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. You are a Sunni Muslim. What are you from? The Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. We are the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. We don't do innovations. We don't make foreigners laugh. We don't make foreigners laugh. We don't cut and paste. Alhamdulillah. We have a true understanding of what our Salafus Salihin have explained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Why I have taken just today a lot of your time. Inshallah, please do participate. Inshallah, coming and learning is very, very important. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.